Coming up on show 496, it's a fully charged live interview show special. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's a bonus show for Tuesday, the 11th of June, 2019. My name is Martin Lee, and last week I featured a first few interviews from people that I bumped into at Fully Charged Live at Silverstone. 3 days of EV talk and sustainable energy chat as well. And I had so much really good feedback actually over the weekend, and it by the look of it, you really enjoyed. Lots of people enjoyed listening to interviews, not only with those people inside the EV industry and the low carbon sustainability industry, but also members of the public who were going along just to have a look around, have a nosy from all different backgrounds, EV drivers, non-EV drivers, those who are EV curious. And so I thought, let's make a bonus show for you today where you can just hear those people. And it was all about the interviews that I was doing in the car. Let me explain. The main car park with Fully Charged Live, a couple of miles away from where the main exhibition, the main exhibition hall was in the middle of a racetrack. So there's not room for 10,000 people turning up in cars on the inside of a racetrack. So you have to park on the outside. And then, yes, yeah, there were buses, electric buses, but also the Renault Zoe Owners Club here in the UK, and also the Tesla Owners Club as well, who are raising a lot of money as well for charity. Fantastic. Volunteered their time and their cars to transport people from the main car park to the conference centre where it was being held. And I was one of those. I love volunteering. I love giving my time. And I was looking forward to meeting people and having random serendipitous conversations, hopefully. And the first one, actually the first two, the chap you'll hear after this, Hull Leaf guy, someone I know, supports the podcast, talked to him online, only know him virtually, so it was nice to meet Darren Sand. First of all, though, Andy Eastlake is the MD of the Low Carbon Vehicle Partnership. And again, someone who I followed for a long time. He's been there many years now. I followed him for a long time. He deals with all sorts in the EV industry. And again, I could have queued up all day long and just spoken to people. I really, really enjoyed it. Of the 10,000 people that turned up, I'm really pleased that I was in the queue of electric shuttle cars, and Andy was the first person to get in, because I've kind of wanted to talk to him for ages, and this was a perfect excuse. And I kicked off the interview by talking about how really he is, and has for a long time, been at the very centre of this whole industry here in the UK.
Absolutely, yeah. I do a lot of work with the government in terms of the policy and trying to sort of shape the activity for low-carbon, zero-emission vehicles such as we see today.
Now, I follow you on Twitter, as many people do, but if people want to find out more, where can they find you?
It's at A Eastlake. It's pretty straightforward.
Were you at Fully Charged last year? I imagine you were.
I was indeed, yeah. We've got a stand here for the Low Carbon Vehicle Partnership, so we cover a lot of this space. It's great to be back here and see it expanding so rapidly in terms of the whole market and the show itself.
Now, the Low Carbon Vehicle Partnership pretty much does what it says on the tin. You can imagine if you don't know what you do from the name. But what are your challenges this year, do you think, in a 2019 world?
Well, I think we're seeing, and the show here today is a great example of there's a real appetite for these vehicles, for the sort of low carbon. There's a problem with availability, so there's a challenge in terms of getting them. I know delivery times are quite long. We're still working. We're doing a lot of work on the infrastructure, because that's always raised as one of the issues. And I think actually the infrastructure is a lot better, a lot more usable than people realise. But some of the opportunities of connecting your car to the grid, using the cars in conjunction with the grid to make the grid and the renewable electricity work better, thinking about how you smart charge vehicles, there's some really good opportunities around sort of connecting up the cars and your apps and that sort of thing. So there's a lot going on in this space, and behind all of that, of course, the policy to encourage more people to take these vehicles is still, we still need to support things like the grants, the incentives, a lot going on.
Before I got an EV, long before I started the EV News Daily podcast, I didn't really care what a kilowatt hour was. But it's funny when you start thinking about electric cars, since then, my dad's bought one, family members have got them. And you actually start, it's really interesting, you take a much more of an interest in, well, how much does my
washing machine cost? I mean, little things like that. But when you do that at millions of people at scale across a country, it's interesting what that's going to do over on a, you know, a 5 to 10 year long term.
One of the challenges is how we communicate the benefits. And in America, you're probably aware that they tend to talk about miles per gallon equivalent, which gets really, really complex. And I have a lot of debates with them. But yes, a kilowatt hour and, you know, kilowatt hours per mile or miles per kilowatt hour actually starts you thinking about energy. It's a bit like smart meters. Yeah. When you see how valuable energy is, when particularly when it's in terms of range and being able to get home or not, actually you tend to, firstly, you drive differently. You drive more economically very often, and we see that with EV drivers a lot. And you also think about your energy prices. If you think electricity can vary from anything from about 2 or 3 pence per kilowatt hour, worst case on rapid charging, we've seen 30, 40, 50 pence even per kilowatt hour. So that range of price for energy is way, way different than you see with gasoline and diesel. And actually, that's where, you know, there's some really big opportunities, if we do this right, yeah, to actually make people connect with the energy system and make the whole system of transport and energy work really, really well together.
If you want to follow Andy as I do online, you can do that, and Low Carbon and Vehicle Partnership as well. Right, let's go to the back of the Zoe taxi right now. Hello, guys, just introduce yourself.
I'm Lorna.
And I'm Dean. First time coming this year. We're just coming out to get some more info on new cars, eco homes and stuff like that.
We've both got electric cars, so we're just coming to find out more about them. I work in a school and I'm always trying to give more information to my primary school children about the future for them of cars.
Yeah.
So encouraging them and their parents.
Interesting that the young people that you are in contact with will never learn to drive a fossil car.
It's nice for them to have first-hand information from like somebody that I can give them information to help them to make the choices sort of later on in the future about the electric cars.
Absolutely. So you guys both drive EVs. What do you drive?
I drive a Nissan Leaf, which is his old car.
Yeah, Lorna's got my old 24 kilowatt hour Nissan Leaf and I've got a 40.
Oh, very nice. What a lovely car. A lovely car. Well, you're slumming it in a Zoe today, but I appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Here with Craig from the Renault Zoe Owners Club. I unfortunately had to share a drive all the way here with him for the last 25 minutes, but let's focus on the good news. Two boys in the back. What are your names then?
It's Darren Sant, Hull Leaf Guy.
And I'm John Gibbons. We both come down from Hull.
Amazing. All right, Darren, so you've been a part of the EV community here in the UK for a long time, making content, once again back at Fully Charged Live this year. Welcome to your podcast debut, by the way. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to see you, mate. Nice to meet you.
So this year, you came last year. This year's so much bigger. Were you here yesterday?
No. We just came down last night, stopped in a hotel and just come down for today.
The last year has been amazing for EVs, really. Like, more and more people just wanting to... have you noticed a change in attitudes?
Yeah, a lot of people seem to be getting a lot better educated. You don't get as many daft questions as you used to. Like, you know, can you drive it in the rain?
Because it is raining at the moment and none of us are getting electrocuted. So, you guys, how long was your journey down today in the EV?
We came down last night, but we made it longer than it had to be, about 3.5 hours. Yeah. Simply because I wanted to get here with the full charge so I could get a good radius away on the way home tonight.
Yeah. We spotted, we were coming in today and we spotted a charger that no one was using, and that's like hen's teeth.
Yeah. We did okay, didn't we, last night? Yeah, they were pretty empty.
Every charger we got to was empty, so we were quite lucky. Yeah.
Right, okay. What are you looking forward to seeing at the show?
Everything.
Yeah.
the new Peugeot. I'm curious about the new Peugeot. Any Model S's I can drool over.
Yeah, very nice.
Sorry, Model 3's.
I'm about saying, to be honest, yeah, I've got a soft spot for Peugeots anyway, and the fact that they've all of a sudden just started bringing cars out, yeah, I'd like to see one of those, really, because I'm looking at trying to buy one myself at some point, so good one to look at.
As we watch a helicopter land over Silverstone, that's a different kind of transfer, right? Sorry, I could only offer you a Zoe today.
I'm quite happy.
Happy for the
love,
lift.
Love the Zoe.
Back in the Zoe taxi right now. Just one on board, but that's okay. Hello, Tom. Is this your first time at Fully Charged?
It is, yeah, certainly. Just here to see what's going about and, talk about it in my job.
Oh, okay, right. I don't know if I should ask about your job, because some people are like, oh, I can't talk about it. But, are you an EV driver or a future EV driver?
Well, at work, we've got a small fleet of EVs. We've got two Nissan ENV 200 vans, a couple of Leafs, a BMW i3, and a Passat GT, which I don't know if that really counts, but it's some form of electric.
it's got a plug on it.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping to get from coming to Fully Charged?
Well, when I work at Specific, we do the whole buildings as power stations envelope. So just here to scout about what's actually happening rather than Googling stuff and seeing it on the screen to, you know, have a play and, you know, touch things, if you like.
Yeah. There's a ton of stuff here. There's home storage. Obviously, there's EVs. And there's so much stuff around EVs as well. Like you were saying, what you do, it's not just, like, the car, but it's the ecosystem as well.
We're looking at smart sort of micro grid control, so charging up the batteries from the PV or straight into the cars attached to our smart buildings. Just try not to stress the grid too much, if you like.
Will we all have PV in the future, or like how's that going to work?
What's the prediction?
Well, I think the cost of it's coming down and people's sort of ingrained perceptions seem to be changing with solar panels, because years ago they were obviously very expensive, and I think people still got that mindset, you know, oh, it's really expensive. But, you know, if your neighbours have got PV and you start chatting to them, you might get a bit surprised at the cost. Like, you know, the cost coming down all the time as manufacture goes through the roof, so... Yeah. I think so. I'm certainly interested in getting PV on my house. Certainly because I'm a tinkerer like that. electrical stuff is my bread and butter and my job.
But what's kind of interesting is here in Northern Europe, the UK is the windiest country in Europe. And today, typical summer day, tipping down with rain, cloudy. But solar can still work in this country. And if it work here, it'll work in California, Vegas and Australia, right? So we should all have... renewables.
The more PV you have on roofs, the more moderate amount of generation you're going to get. So it all adds up, you know, marginal gains and all that.
There is an interesting, you know, kind of EVs have gone through a, like any new technology, new adoption. You say you're a tinkerer, like you get enjoyment out of that. There are some people though, my wife included, with an EV. She doesn't want to know how it works. Just, does it get me where I'm going to go? And so EVs are kind of getting to an interesting point now where, as we cross over Silverstone, there's a bunch of racing cars making lots of noise, which is kind of weird at an EV event anyway. There's two events going on at once. So it's interesting, like, different groups of people coming together, like people who are sort of techs and geeky like I am, but also it's going to go to the mainstream where people are just like, I don't want to think about this.
Yeah, well, if you think of an EV... from a daily driver sort of perspective, they're so simple, and the, you know, the servicing intervals are so large compared to a internal combustion engine. I think it's a no-brainer, really. There's much fewer things to blow up, like fewer moving parts. and you plug them in when you get home, and it charges at, I don't know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., whenever it wants to.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you never have to visit a petrol station. Again,
that is the best thing about an EV.
Yeah, because you know most journeys are just to and from work, to and from a supermarket. Well, I think when people see these electric car reviews, people go on a road trip from Scotland to Cornwall, and then are frustrated when you have to wait for them to charge. And I don't think that represents a daily usage sort of profile for any car. You know, you don't drive up and down the country every single day. Not everybody does, at least.
No, not at all. Hey, have a great day today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I've bumped into Richard at Fully Charged. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Good. Martin, how are you?
Good. Who are you here with?
I'm here with my other half. We came last year, actually.
Yeah. This year's bigger, right? This
year's much bigger. And it was really, really busy last year, actually. Like, really quite cramped. It definitely felt like the venue was not big enough. But this year, it seems a lot more relaxed, actually.
So, are you EV drivers? Are you EV curious?
Yeah, I've got a Leaf 30 kilowatt that we came up, Silverstone up from sort of Brighton area. We've had that for about 18 months now.
I came up from Bournemouth. You know Bournemouth's better than Brighton, right?
Is it?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
I'm going to have to concede the point, am I?
You know, the beach is sandy in Bournemouth, you know?
I do know that, yeah. It gets everywhere, though, that sand. I just prefer the pebbles.
Yeah, you can't get pebbles up your bum.
No, I hope not.
Well,
anyway. No, I'm sure it's possible. But.
People around the world listening, I go, Bournemouth, Brighton, what are they talking about? When did you get your EV?
In sort of September 2017, yeah. We had solar installed probably about a few months prior to that, I think. And I kind of got a Rolex charger, which was all right at the time. And then the Zappy came out, and I was like, oh,
I've got to have the Zappy.
Yeah, so I got that about a year later. So I've had that since sort of September. I've got all the sort of my energy stuff now, and been sort of charging the car on solar since like middle of March, which is pretty amazing. Really, I'm lucky enough that I can leave it there during the day because it's only 10 minutes from work. But
I had this conversation with someone earlier who was super into PV, and I was saying, in the UK, where it's always cloudy, welcome to a summer's day in Great Britain, where it was tipping down with rain this morning, even then, PV still works.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even on a poor day, we still maybe get sort of 5 or 6 kilowatts or something, and, you know, if you're leaving at home a few days a week, like, it's enough, really. Yeah. It's enough for local mileage. I mean, probably don't do more than sort of 8,000 miles a year or something, but you know, solar for that is just fine. I hardly ever use rapid chargers, really, unless it's a long journey.
Yeah.
But
you're the half to know. I'm not going on the podcast, so I'll come and talk to you right now. I'll chase you around the car park. What's your perspective on all this? You fully on board and signed up?
Well, Rich is the brains behind the idea.
I don't believe that.
That's what I said to people like my wife, and it's not true.
He's the one who designs it. Oh, I just benefit from it.
Yeah. But it's not, it's just that the house is the house and there's panels on and you just put the washing on when you want, or do you think, oh, I'll do it in the day because the sun's shining?
Yeah, I definitely am more conscious of delaying the dishwasher, delaying the washing machine and things like that.
Now, what about storage?
I've got a SunAmp heat battery, actually. Because I looked at a Powerwall, but it was pretty expensive. And when I kind of looked at the bills, like, obviously the solar was making a bit of a dent in the electricity anyway, but just, you know, we're still using quite a lot of gas to heat hot water. So I looked at the SunAmp and I thought, well, you know, you can charge it 50,000 times, as they've tested it apparently, and it was a lot cheaper than the Powerwall, and it just seemed like it'd be a bit more guaranteed, it would last longer, and the sort of return on investment was much shorter than the Powerwall. So yeah, I'd still like some battery storage, but there's only sort of probably about 3 or 4 kilowatts a day that there is to sort of mop up, and it's still quite a lot of money, you know, when the electric bill's only sort of 220 quid a year. It's like, it doesn't really seem worth it, so we kind of just opted for the self-consumption route, really.
Bought the
sort of My Energy products. So I've got an Eddy, which is, you know, diverts the energy to the SunAmp. We've got the Zappy charger, which we use to charge the car off solar. You know, we put stuff on during the day, as Nikki said, sort of washing machine, that kind of thing. So, and it's pretty much, we're getting sort of 75% self-consumption on the solar. So there's not much going back to the grid. And so, yeah, just been trying to do that, really, rather than
store it and then use it when it's, you think, okay, we'll just change our habits a little bit.
It's not as cool as the battery storage, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I'd love a power wall glowing on the wall in the garage or something. But it's a bit spicy at the moment.
Busy converting friends and family to an EV, or are they not interested, or what?
I try, yeah. I mean, people are interested, but I think I probably bore my family. So I get on Twitter and just engage with people on there, because they're just lapping it up, and they're all happy to talk about that all day long.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
A couple of podcast listeners here. Hello, what's your name?
The Jolly EV fan, Pete Roberts.
Jolly EV fan and...
Maple Leaf driver, D Roberts.
Lovely. So there, if you're following people on socials, that's two new followers that you should be looking at. How's Fully Charged for you?
Wonderful. A lot more year than there was last year. We came to the first one last year, obviously, and they were just sort of putting it together and that, but this year's brilliant. A lot of people I'm seeing around here that I know from Twitter and YouTube and that.
Yeah.
Very friendly community.
The Jolly EV fan online. What do you like to talk about when you're on your social media?
well, basically about cars for the last 2 years. I've been looking to get myself my own electric vehicle. My wife picked one up last year, having come to this show a month or so after.
And it was being on this show, that made me think, I need a new car. Let's go electric.
Yeah.
So I've had mine for my Leaf for a year, and I would never go back to a nice vehicle.
What you got then?
30 Techna.
Oh, very nice. And you'd never... Everyone says that. So you'd think that ICE drivers at some point would tweak, because every EV driver says, I'm just not going back. Like, yeah. I might change models, but I'm never going back.
Absolutely, yeah. And they just need to have that faith of jumping in the car, have no range anxiety. It's just all planning. Mm. That's all it is.
We got married in February, and we drove all the way up to Gretna in it, and then all the way up to Dundee. First air honeymoon, we're looking at the Dundee charging hub.
Romantic.
What a catch.
I know, he's a keeper.
What was it about the change of mindset that made sense to you in terms of range anxiety? I'm not even going to use that phrase. I know people, maybe it is a thing, but people don't get petrol anxiety, but you can still run out of petrol.
Yes. I used to have range anxiety, but then now we push it a bit more, we're braver. We know how it all works, if there's charging stations, and you just zap map it and it's good.
I think coming down from Stockton last time, you got down to 6%, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was nerve-wracking.
98 miles.
Great, turtle mode engaged.
Yes, yeah.
Lovely to meet you.
See you. Seeing you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because it's better than me bleating on. It's actually it's far more interesting to hear the opinion of people who are living this and working in the industry, and also people of the general public who are EV drivers, EV curious, people who maybe didn't think they were going to be interviewed when they turned up to a show and got in a car. But everyone who was a really good sport and just fantastic. So I've got a load more of those that are hopefully over the next few days and weeks, I'll be able to get those out for you as well. A bunch of Saturday specials coming up, including interviews with people that we've talked about on the podcast before. We've got a Saturday special interview coming soon with how to start your own EV club, how to convert a classic car to an electric car. And also, if you have kids, when they grow up, they're never gonna learn to drive in a fossil car. Fossil cars are dead. So they're going to be learning to drive in an EV. We actually talked to someone who is a driving instructor, teaches people to drive now in EVs, and is very involved as well in setting that future legislation, has certainly many opinions on that at least. So all of those Saturday specials and many more as well coming up in future weeks on the podcast. Make sure you listen to the other show that I'm doing today, which is the Irregular News Show, which does include our question of the week 2 days later than normal because I had last weekend off after a crazy fully charged live. So you can get all the previous shows online if you want to for free. The new ones that go up every single day, mostly first and free, and automatically if you hit that subscribe button in your podcast app and on YouTube as well. Thank you so much for your support on Patreon. Got some very special names to say thank you to over the next couple of days on our regular news shows. If you want to catch up on the socials, please search EV News Daily. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. I'll catch you soon. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.